Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Wednesday, June 14th, 2017 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild ride it is. The big news this morning is what is being referred to as a mass shooting in Virginia at the GOP baseball practice. The main focus of the news coverage at this point is on Congressman Steve Scalise, who was shot in the hip apparently and is in stable condition. But it's interesting to watch the news media cover these kinds of events, and obviously this is a tragedy, and this is not it's a very scary situation, but it's interesting to watch media people do it for two reasons. Typically, and this is just my speculation, but I would guess that the vast majority of the folks in the mainstream press are not people who are well acquainted with firearms. They probably haven't spent much time around firearms, and that's unfortunate, I think, because for a variety of reasons, obviously, but perhaps not the least of which is a little anecdote, which, you know, maybe it's not appropriate. Some might argue it's not appropriate, but a quick story anecdote. Thomas Jefferson, our history tells us, I mean, the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's fairly unique on the world stage. There are countries around the world that make it a requirement for people to be armed. You would think we have the same requirement in our Bill of Rights, Second Amendment, but then the question becomes which Bill of Rights and administrative hijinks and so forth. Anyway, somewhere in our history, we have this in our blood, so to speak, coursing through our veins here in America. So a quick anecdote on that subject, why it's particularly tragic that any cross-section of American life is unacquainted with firearms. Obviously, in this case, I was watching the news coverage this morning, hearing folks, congressmen, say, you know, it's unfortunate we were unarmed. Well, why would you be unarmed? That just seems foolish, especially in a position like that. And it's interesting, you know, we talk on this broadcast and this network about the known wolf scenario. It appears that this shooter was a lone gunman. Rand Paul speculated on, he was one of the congressmen interviewed, and he speculated that it was probably an AR style weapon, probably an AR-15. And speaking of background on weapons, for those who don't know, AR, most people in the gun control era these days, and good gun control is your finger placed, the end of your trigger finger placed on the center of the trigger, not to the left or right, so that you're pulling and firing off target. That's good gun control. Trying to take guns out of the hands of people, especially when the Second Amendment tells us we should be well armed, it's not a good idea. And people will say, but Chris, you're the person who, I mean, you mentioned virtue, morality, and religion. You mentioned the words of the founders, like Benjamin Franklin. Only virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. That doesn't mean that we need masters. That means that we need virtue, morality, and religion. And Thomas Jefferson, this broadcast has for, well, since its inception, really, referred to the aphorism, I suppose, Jefferson's words, that if we think the people capable of exercising their control, the control over government, Jefferson said, I believe the people. He said, I don't fear the people. He said, the way he put it, actually, I'll just read it instead of trying to paraphrase it. From in the letter Thomas Jefferson wrote to William Charles Jarvis, September 28, 1820, he put it like this, and this is one of the examples that I hold up for virtue, morality, and religion, praise of the founders, even though they disagree, and vehemently at times, still they maintain decorum, civility, and a level of honor that we don't see these days. Did you see, we'll talk about this later, but did you see the Senate Intelligence Hearing testimony of Attorney General Jeff Sessions yesterday? And some of the questions, Kamala Harris is always obnoxious these days, which is why she gets shut down. Let the witness answer the question. And Jeff Sessions is a former senator. You know, as he mentioned in his opening statements, he was just a colleague of theirs not too long ago. And sure, we can all disagree. And if bad guys are doing bad things, they need to be called out. When you have a pattern of history over the course of decades of doing bad things, and there are a number of those folks, I don't know how, for example, John McCain escaped just permanent association with the Keating Five, for example, and how someone like that continues to get elected. That's rhetorical and I digress, but still we should be able to maintain a level of decorum. So Jefferson's letter to William Jarvis back in September of 1820 is a prime example. It kind of encapsulates that concept of virtue, morality, and religion, even though they disagree. And Jefferson says, I wholeheartedly disagree. It's interesting, you know, just to kind of give background on that real quick. Jefferson opens the letter and they disagree. He opens the letter. I thank you, sir, for the copy of your Republican, which you have been so kind as to send me, and I should have acknowledged it sooner, but then I am just returned home from a long absence. I have not yet had time to read it seriously, but in looking over it cursorily, I see much in it to approve, and shall be glad if it shall lead our youth to the practice of thinking on such subjects and for themselves. What a concept. That it will have this tendency may be expected, and for that reason I feel an urgency to note what I deem an error in it, the more requiring notice as your opinion is strengthened by that of many others. You seem... And he goes on to explain. And so to conclude, though, there's this thought. He says, I know of no safe depository. I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society, but the people themselves. And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power. And after he makes that point, which is in contradiction to and challenging William Jarvis's point, After that, he writes, "Pardon me, sir, for this difference of opinion. My personal interest in such questions is entirely extinct, but now my wish is for the longest possible continuance of our government on its pure principles. If the three powers maintain their mutual independence on each other, it may last long. But not so if either can assume the authorities of the other." But actually, that's not what happened. It was a fourth branch, remember, that was formalized by Congress's passage of the APA, the Administrative Procedure Act, in 1946, when Senator Pat McCarran said on the Senate floor, "We have created a fourth branch," and clarified repeatedly that we have these three branches, executive, legislative, judicial, and now we've created a fourth. He said that repeatedly. And he even went as far as to say that it was the Administrative Procedure Act was a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose affairs were controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. And as I've mentioned, you look over the course of the 20th century, the body of government that touches the citizen, so to speak, and it is virtually exclusively agency. So, as Jefferson said, his wishes were for the longest possible continuance of our government on its pure principles. If the three powers maintain their mutual independence on each other, it may last long, but not so if either can assume the authorities of the other. And the fourth has assumed the powers of all of the three duly constituted, kind of vacuumed up powers and functions in consolidating them in agencies. And as R.J. Pistrito points out in his piece, The Birth of the Administrative State, where it came from and what it means for limited government, limited constitutional government, sometimes even in the same people, citing Gary Lawson's example from his 1994 piece, The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State. So Jefferson closes, "I ask your candid reconsideration of this subject, and I am sufficiently sure you will form a candid conclusion. Accept the assurance of my great respect." That's his conclusion to his letter. He is diametrically opposed. He completely disagrees with the fundamental premise of Jarvis's point, essentially, and though he is in complete opposition, Jefferson is very respectful, very considerate, very humble, I would say, and closes with the two sentences, "I ask your candid reconsideration of this subject and am sufficiently sure you will form a candid conclusion. Accept the assurance of my great respect." This coming from one of the greatest thinkers in American history. Whether you agree with his politics or predilections or not, hard to argue that that he's not up in the echelons of American intellectual thought and high up on the list of American statesmen. So can you imagine? I mean, wow. Anyway, so he says, "I know of no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves, and if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, that control, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional power." So without meaning to, we kind of launch out into a sort of ancillary discussion. People will say, you know, I say the Second Amendment means what it says and says what it means. It's pretty clear. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Do we want a free state? I think we would all agree, hopefully, unless we're part of the power coterie, the cabal that wants to quash freedom. You know, folks like Bill Clinton back in the 90s that say, you know, we have too much freedom. We need to get rid of some of that, curb some of that freedom. It sounds like Al-Qaeda doesn't hate us as much for our freedoms as folks like Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, and folks like that. But I digress. So the Second Amendment means what it says what it means. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So, who is the militia? That's another discussion, and it's all but defunct and extinct. So if there's no militia, maybe we don't need to keep and bear arms. But on the contrary, we want a free state. Therefore, a well-regulated militia is necessary. Being necessary, it's kind of a, it's the assumptive, it's the presumptive position. Well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. That, of course, we all agree on. So the right of the people to keep and bear arms, that conditional statement, obviously, it goes without saying. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. But if everyone's armed, holy cow, look at this brutal and vicious society. Ben Franklin, Chris, you said only virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. Indeed, this is true. And if everyone is armed in a vicious and brutal society, we're going to have a problem. But, you know, some have speculated. It doesn't take long, I think, to get to the critical end of the thought that if everyone's armed, we're all brutal. Hopefully, Robert Heinlein's words apply and come into full effect. From Beyond This Horizon, published back in 1948, Robert Heinlein wrote, in the first place, an armed society is a polite society. And you hear people echo this sometimes. Manners are good when one may have to back up his acts with his life. And he wrote, for me, politeness is a sine qua non of civilization. In other words, an absolute essential. That's a personal evaluation only, but gunfighting has a strong biological use. We do not have enough things to kill off the weak and stupid these days. And I would say starting with the folks that conscript the strong and brave and brilliant. But to stay alive as an armed citizen, a man has to be either quick with his wits or with his hands, preferably both. It is a good thing. So back to Jefferson. The original premise, the anecdote, what is the best form of exercise? Well, I agree with Jefferson, and if we engaged more in this form of exercise, we probably wouldn't have the kinds of incidents that we saw in Virginia earlier today or these other false flag things. You know, none of these so-called terrorist incidents happen at gun shows. You ever notice that? They always happen at places usually far removed from politics, not in this case. But in the Operation Gladio B strategy of tension fashion, usually it's far removed from politics. It's some soft, squishy target, schools, preschools, place where women and children get shot. So it's horrific. And then we have to call on the kidnapper in Stockholm Syndrome fashion to protect us. Save us from, well, yourself, kidnapper, please, which is never a good idea. So Jefferson. It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. What is the best form of exercise? To Silent Sales
and Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I can get too. That's ICANGET, the number 2, silent salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back. Quick update, and we'll get back to this, but it's just despicable. So New York Times is reporting Steve Scalise among five shot at baseball field. It's my understanding only four. Scalise is one of two congressmen shot, and then there were two aides or Capitol Police. I'm not there. There's some confusion there. I think it's only four, and it's my understanding that the fifth person was actually injured sliding into one of the dugouts to take cover from shots being fired. So, as if on cue, during the break, I was listening to Virginia Governor Bilderberg attendee, Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, the same Terry McAuliffe, still, as far as I know, under FBI investigation. Remember, I've read Senator Chuck Grassley's letter a couple of times on that. Why is now FBI director, who is formerly FBI deputy director, Andrew McCabe, well, why is he in charge? First of all, shouldn't he be under investigation? Because there is some question of funny business. That letter from Chuck Grassley to the Honorable James Comey back on March 28th. Remember those letters that, kind of like Attorney General Jeff Sessions' letter about his recusal that was sent to FBI Director and Sessions' office, resent that yesterday, sent it to the Senate Intelligence Committee and said this is what was sent to the FBI Director, who's spreading rumors, innuendos, essentially lies. You know, I don't know what Sessions was doing. He, you know, didn't really say what his recusal was all about, but except he did. And Comey apparently conveniently didn't get the memo. But Grassley sent Comey a couple of letters back in March regarding this issue of what I would call criminal conspiracy and culpability in the suppression of the facts and in the investigation of Hillary Clinton, the highly politicized issue. Anyway, Grassley's letter. Remember his letter? March 28th, 2017, to FBI Director Comey. And from Grassley's letter, as you know, Mr. McCabe is under investigation by the Department of Justice of the Inspector General. That's Andrew McCabe, now acting director of the FBI. That investigation is examining whether the political and financial connections between his wife's Democratic political campaign and Clinton associates warranted his recusal, Andrew McCabe's, in the FBI's Clinton email investigation. On March 7th, 2015, just 5 days after the New York Times broke the story about Secretary Clinton's use of private email for official business, Mr. McCabe met with Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe. This is Bilderberg attendee and host this year, since Bilderberg was held June 1st to the 4th in Chantilly, Virginia. Mr. McCabe met with Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, a longtime close associate of the Clintons, along with his wife, McCabe's wife, Dr. Jill McCabe. Mr. McAuliffe recruited Dr. McCabe, who had not previously run for any political office, to be the Democratic candidate for a Virginia State Senate seat. Dr. McCabe agreed. That was a failed bid, by the way. Dr. Jill McCabe, Andrew McCabe's wife, agreed, and Governor McAuliffe's Political Action Committee subsequently gave her nearly $500,000 to her campaign while the FBI's investigation of Secretary Clinton was ongoing. The Virginia Democratic Party, over which Mr. McAuliffe exerts considerable control, also donated over $200,000 to Dr. Jill McCabe's campaign. While Mr. McCabe recused himself from public corruption cases in Virginia, presumably including the reportedly ongoing investigation of Mr. McAuliffe regarding illegal campaign contributions, because McAuliffe is under investigation for illegal campaign contributions too. But McCabe failed to recuse himself from the illegal investigation, despite the $700,000 in post corruption investigation. That was when
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's biting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back. So, let's just kind of make a brief departure since the news goes so fast these days. You know, one of the challenges with this broadcast is things are developing as we come on the air, the world is waking up, so to speak. America is waking up and things are just kind of kicking into gear. We can cover yesterday's news. We can talk about some of the bizarre shenanigans at the Senate Intelligence Committee hearing. Jeff Sessions, I thought, was great. You know, people, and Geraldo, to his credit, I think he nailed it. And what I mean is, he said it best. You know, in this deeply divided post-truth, vacuous era of American history, it's really kind of embarrassing and disgraceful and sad. Hopefully we can come to our senses before we drive our bus off a cliff or are encouraged by the suggestibilists to drive the bus off the cliff. Hopefully we can come to our senses. But Geraldo tweeted yesterday, Sessions hearing will change no minds. Left will point to cannot recalls, quote unquote, as evasive, and right will repeat, there is no evidence of collusion. And he's absolutely right. The left did that. And, you know, we're divided along specious lines, not just left and right, but, you know, we're being divided up in very specious terms. We're encouraged to divide ourselves up. People throw these talking points out, all of them, all of these old school bad guys, the Newt Gingriches, the Mike Huckabee's, the, you know, the most golly shucks-ish, down-home sounding of them all say, you know, and we on the right and we on the left, they're all saying the same thing. I don't identify with that. I always find it humorous when someone, callers have observed this broadcast airs sound bites, and I talk about stuff from all kinds of sources. I'm not aware of anyone who has cornered the market on truth. So, you know, we draw from a variety of sources. What actually happens is, and I think this is part of an agenda, to collide us together, basically. The devil is masterful. Speaking of the power of suggestion, which I believe is the devil's only weapon, The devil is masterful at dividing up, parsing up talking points, taking the truth and dissecting it into pieces and separating it out, which, by the way, is not truth. That becomes a misrepresentation, bearing false witness, ultimately a lie. So you divide it up. You take a piece over here. It's kind of like, are you Calvinist or Arminianist? Well, neither and both. Neither is true, but both are true, if you follow what I'm saying. So you divide these pieces up, and you give this piece to this camp, this piece to that camp, and you sprinkle in a little bit of untruth, and then collide them together. You say, okay, ready, discuss. And, of course, that's going to escalate into some kind of conflict, because it does invariably. And there you go. They're infighting. Instead of them getting together and saying, you know what? That's a good point. That sounds true. That resonates with me. And the other person says, you know what? That resonates with me. Maybe you have a piece. Maybe I have a piece. And then they come to their senses. Huh, what a concept. And then they realize that there are these think tanky places where people think up these talking points, and they're cleverly crafted, cleverly scripted sophisms designed to divide people amongst themselves. What a thought. Then maybe they'll start looking in the right place. Who are these people? Look, we don't want your sophisms anymore. Let's shut them down like Hungary did. George Soros's native Hungary says, you know what? We don't want your think tanks anymore. Get them out. Russia said the same thing. That sounds kind of smart. We've played the clip of Bashar al-Assad in the fashion of his father, so to speak, speaking the truth. Asked by a reporter if the West invites itself in, if the West wants to come and help and, you know, help fight the terrorists, would you welcome them? And it's a specious question. It's based on a logical fallacy. It's clever, but it's a misstep. So Assad, the way he does, says, well, actually, first of all, I appreciate your question, but first of all, the West is not interested in fighting the terrorists. The West just wants to manage the terrorists. And we have all kinds of evidence. There's overwhelming evidence here in America, even though our own mainstream media is not journalism, it's propaganda outlets, well-heeled, Ivy League, blue-blooded, silver-tongued propagandists. Even though they're propagandizing the American people, there's still just overwhelming evidence to the truth of what Bashar al-Assad says. These people in these other countries, if we listen to them, they'll tell us what the intriguers are doing. That's all we have to do. Just listen, pay attention. Speaking of that, I don't want to get off track, but I've watched some folks talk about some things with regard to that. I always mention Operation Cyclone, the Salafi movement, you know, just a brief aside on that, not to get too far off track, but folks will say, you know, I've heard discussion of Charlie Wilson's war recently, which is another, the way that TomDispatch.com article by Chalmers Johnson described it, Tom Graham, Chalmers Johnson, and imperialist comedy is what Charlie Wilson's war is. And the opening words of the piece open Steve Cole's aptly titled book, Ghost Wars, The Secret History of the CIA, Afghanistan, and Bin Laden, from the Soviet invasion to September 10, 2001. In other words, the day before 9/11. At almost any page, and you're likely to find something that makes a mockery of the film Charlie Wilson's War. There on page 90, for instance, is the larger-than-life CIA director of the era, William Casey, the Catholic Knight of Malta, educated by Jesuits, quote-unquote, who, quote, believed fervently that spreading the Catholic Church's reach and power, he could contain communism's advance or reverse it, end quote. And this, of course, is the sort of CNP contingent counterpart to radical Islam. This is why I say two sides of the same coin. Continuing. And if you couldn't have the church do it, as in Afghanistan in the 1980s, then second best, Casey believed, were the Islamic warriors of jihad. The more extreme, the better. And indeed, that's what Operation Cyclone, the Wikipedia entry, says, which is why I always point to that. From Wikipedia, Operation Cyclone was the code name for the United States Central Intelligence Agency program to arm and finance the jihadi warriors, Mujahideen, in Afghanistan prior to the Soviet invasion. But then these words, next sentence, the program leaned heavily towards supporting militant Islamic groups. Why? Well, Steve Cole's book, Ghost Wars, states it in very clear and plain language. And then from there, you go to the Salafi movement, specifically the section titled Views on Extremism, and you find these words. Has it been scrubbed yet? Not yet. Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia. And this ideology, not religion, this ideology is used to justify the violent acts of jihadi Salafi groups that include Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Boko Haram, and the Al-Shabaab, and on, Nusra Front, Lashkar-e-Taiba, the Khorasan group, you name it, all of those groups on the State Department's ISM, radical Islam, ISM watch list, all the same thing. Virtually all the same. Wahhabism, Salafism, Diobandism. Salafism, as some have astutely observed, is Wahhabism on tour. In addition, Saudi Arabia prints textbooks for schools and universities to teach Salafism, as well as recruit international students from Egypt, Bangladesh, Indonesia, Africa, and the Balkans to help spread Salafism in their local communities. These people have known this all along. There's a speech by former president of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, that is brilliant. He talks about meeting with the head of the Muslim Brotherhood, and he, you know, we hear about all the, you know, the women's dress issues without getting into specifics. Women are supposed to be covered. That was something that Gamal Abdel Nasser talked about in his speech. The Muslim Brotherhood head says, hey, you need to tell the Egyptian people that women should be covered. And Nasser says, well, you have a daughter who's in college right now. I don't see her wearing one. And so you can't get your daughter to do it, one woman. And you want me to, by myself, get 10 million Egyptian women to do this? And the crowd laughs. They go into hysterics. Fast forward to today, and he and Hafez Assad, Bashar al-Assad's father, and all of these other folks, remember Gaddafi's what I call 9/11 speech back in, September 23rd of 2009, I want to say? The speech, I think, the UN General Assembly speech that I think was the speech that got him killed, ultimately, even though the CIA was trying to overthrow him back in 83. He said it, you know? We need to reopen investigations on all kinds of things. He said all of these African leaders, JFK's assassination, 9/11. Who did these things? Why are all of these countries swearing allegiance to the UN when the Security Council tells us that if we're members, if we're attacked by another member state, we'll be protected by the Security Council, yet they turn a blind eye while there is this cabal of aggression, NATO specifically, going around attacking other members while the Security Council turns a blind eye. Well, we can't have that kind of talk, can we? Again, speaking of NATO, Richard Sakwa's words are apropos. NATO exists to manage the risks created by its existence. This is what we're doing. We're creating a culture of fear around the world as we go open cans of freedom and democracy everywhere. Which is precisely circling back around to today's events in Virginia, precisely that's the climate, that's the culture that we're invoking. It's the strategy of tension, Operation Gladio, Gladio B, strategy of tension. Circling back around, so what did Rahm Emanuel say? If you're ready with that, play that. Well, let's listen to that.
You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before. I think America as a whole in 1973 and 1974, not just my view, but obviously the administration, missed the opportunity to deal with the energy crisis that was before us. For a long time, our entire energy policy came down to cheap oil. This is an opportunity, what used to be long-term problems, be they in the healthcare area, energy area, education area, fiscal area, tax area, regulatory reform area, things that we had postponed
for too long
that were long.
So that's Rahm Emanuel back in November of 2008. Remember that? Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, chief of staff for former President Barack Obama, among other awful positions that he's held. You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that is an opportunity to do things you think you could not do before. And so, again, as I always say, no normal person thinks like this. The arsonist, these bad guys, the criminals, think like this. The hardened criminals, in precisely the fashion, the hardening that Bertrand Russell talked about, the cruelty that hardens people, and kind of by association that's trickling down into society. This is why we see a rise in sociopathy in corporate culture and things like that. It's trickling down. This kind of trickle down actually does, even though, you know, the economic trickle down theory, you know, sprinkling breadcrumbs on the peasants isn't necessarily the same context, if you follow me. Anyway, so old school bad guys like Rahm Emanuel say what the arsonist says. You know, we don't want to let a serious crisis go to waste, an opportunity to do things we couldn't, thought we couldn't do before. So, hey, if our business is on fire, maybe we can talk about building a new building. It's great. No one thinks like that. I need to circle back around and talk about what the best form of exercise is in Jeffersonian fashion. But first, in the next segment, I want to give you, I guess, a breakdown in They Live meets Bertrand Russell's 1952 Impact of Science on Society propaganda tome fashion. I'll give you a breakdown of Governor McAuliffe's remarks, which, by the way, are emblematic of all of these old school bad guy goofballs remarks. We'll be right back.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, A visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, just keep on using me until you use me up.
Welcome back.
Until you use me up.
So, I mentioned the incident today. Incident today is kind of the big issue. The shooting at the GOP baseball practice, which is practice for the game it's an annual congressional baseball game, and this one is scheduled for June 15th. But this morning was, I think, the final practice, actually, and so that's a big deal, obviously. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise and a congressional aide were shot by the press is referring to as a rifle wielding gunman who sprayed a hail of bullets at GOP baseball practice, in Virginia earlier this morning before, Capitol Police took the gunman down. So this individual has been identified as James Hodgkinson, and some of the news outlets are actually publishing a copy of his driver's license, which is interesting. 5'6", 202 pounds, brown eyes, James T. Hodgkinson. That's interesting. Illinois driver's license. And issued December 5th of 2013, expires 12/12 of 2017. I think what's interesting, and so maybe we'll play that piece, but there are photos of him circulating, like a picture that says tax the rich, like Congress did for 70 years till Reagan's trickle down. Speaking of the trickle down. So he's holding a sign. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see kind of how this shakes out. One of the things that kind of sticks out in my mind is you hear, we'll play a clip in the first segment of the second hour. Rand Paul's call into Fox and Friends this morning talking about the incident because he was there. I think what is astonishing is that apparently, if you know, the alleged shooter, James Hodgkinson, only shot two people, fired 50 or 60 rounds, everybody's saying. And it's interesting, you listen, there are different accounts given. I heard blue shirt, blue jeans, and a FBI congressman that said he was dressed in all white, basically. That's how people see things and remember things different in traumatic situations. But we'll talk about that at the top of the first, top of the second hour. Back into some other business, circle back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.